This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome to the show. Let's check in with Mark Lack.
This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Rachel McCrary is joining us. She's the CEO and founder of Jewel Toned. It's a pleasure having the show with us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
What's your company do? I saw some of them out there. We're going to bring them in, but what do you guys do?
So Jewel Toned is the first body positive shapewear company. So oftentimes shapewear can make women feel bad about themselves. So we're changing the psychology around that so that women feel better about themselves when they get ready. It comes in black and bright colors, no nude because it looks like a Band-Aid. You can wear it out if you want because it doesn't really look like underwear.
So how do you compete in a competitive space like that? I know that there's a lot of different people that have gotten in there. We don't need to name any of the brands, but it feels like a space that's kind of difficult to get into. How did you guys do it?
I can imagine it would be difficult to get into it if you hadn't been doing it your whole life. So I'm a fashion designer, and I have had my own entrepreneurial endeavors, and I had a mini dress company in high school. I majored in fashion design, have two different fashion design degrees, and then I worked in New York in fashion design for 15 years, primarily in the intimate apparel lingerie space. So I'm considered a lingerie expert by certain people that care about that, just about five. and had been surveying the market for a while and noticed that when women talked about their undies, they really enjoyed the purchase of a bra and panty, which we make those too. But we're known for our body shapers because when women talk about their body shapers, they sort of apologize for it. Like if they don't wear it, they wear it like a badge of honor, like, oh, I don't need that. And if they do wear it, they apologize for it. They're like, oh, I had to get it for a prom or for a wedding. So I wondered, why is that? We used to view corsets as something beautiful and like an aspirational purchase. And somehow along the way, it's gotten changed into this thing that you need because something's wrong with you. Where if you ask classical fashion designers all over the world, they'll tell you that, you know, most ball gowns require a foundation garment. And that's true today. Or even our jeans, cocktail dress, even t-shirts. So
you got in this space because of your background. Tell me about that journey. How did you end up going from, you know, getting those degrees and going to New York for 15 years, ultimately to starting your own business?
What
was that process?
I always knew that I wanted to be a fashion designer, maybe since I was a tiny little girl.
What about an entrepreneur? Was that always in the books?
According to my parents, yes.
Really? Most parents don't like push their kids down entrepreneurship.
I don't think they pushed me down it. I think it was apparent that I wasn't someone that would enjoy having a boss.
Following the rules. You're a rule breaker.
Yes. Yes. I've always been an advocate for self-expression and creating your own rules and not seeing traditional paths as a way of doing something. And they taught me to, you know, that the sky was the limit, that I could do whatever I wanted. And the safe route wasn't always the route that would make you the happiest.
I love that. I feel like I grew up in a similar fashion. You know, break the rules to some degree, right? You still have to obey the laws in some capacities. But, you know, be a rule breaker. Because at the end of the day, that's what entrepreneurship is. Like, if you stay within the rules, you're never going to create anything disruptive and unique and stuff that people ultimately want. How has that served you, do you feel like, as an entrepreneur?
It's when we get out of our comfort zone that we grow, right? Yeah. So when we push through fear and uncomfortable emotions and maybe not knowing the right way, on the other side of that is usually something more fulfilling, something more to be proud of, and something that really, you know, lights you up. And especially when you push through times of, I didn't know if I was going to make it or not. And then not only did I survive, but I thrived. It's the best feeling in the world.
Well, share a story of that then. Instead of us just staying and brushing under the rug, give us an example of when that happened to you.
Oh, man.
There's maybe a dozen or so.
Yes. When I first started Jewel Tone, I started it out of my kitchen. And
not your garage, the kitchen.
Yeah. I guess the dining room, which is connected to the kitchen, I turned it into an office. But, you know, whenever I was looking into different ways to start and fund a company, because I knew I wanted to be a real company and not just a hobby, I was looking into the ways to do that. And if you look at the statistics of, you know, how many women that are founders that raise money, I heard someone say last night that it was 4%. I read that it was 3.5 in Forbes, but it's something abysmal like that. And then, you know, whenever I found out, you know, the process of that and that it's networking with, you know, finance dudes that all went to Stanford and live in Silicon Valley, none of which I know.
Guys.
I'm friends with many of them now, but at the time I wasn't. So, you know, a lot of people told me, hey, you know, that's a really tough road and most people aren't successful with it. And, you know, I heard
you're up for the challenge, though.
Way more negative comments than that, that I'm sure you can imagine. You know, my place is in the kitchen and things like that. And I was like, well, that's cool because my office is actually basically
in the kitchen.
Yeah. So we actually at one point I did raise venture capital through that process. And then in order to make fun of people who said that, we had a funding event called a bake sale. So we baked brownies and then, you know, exchanged $25,000 brownies for equity in our company at a valuation that was on the brownies and we're successful at it, you know, as a way to say, oh, you think we're in the kitchen? Okay.
I love that. How'd you come up with that kind of an idea? Because I feel like that's a disruptive, unique way to raise money.
I was inspired by Senator Barbara Mikulski. She was, I think, the first Democratic female senator in the state of Maryland. And in the 80s, whenever she was running her campaign, she, you know, didn't have the money to fund, didn't know how to fund her campaign, didn't have the money herself. So she had a bake sale and everyone was making fun of her and said, oh, that's ridiculous. You know, whereas all the housewives came out and, you know, supported her bake sale and with tiny little, you know, donations, she ended up funding her whole campaign and winning. And then I think she's one of the longest running senators today.
That's amazing. And I've heard so many examples of when you have to raise money, how if you can come up with a really powerful movement and get a lot of little donations, how it can all add up. CEO and founder of Jewel Tone, Rachel McCrary, is joining us. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I want to know on your journey so far, have you had anyone that's really impacted you, a friend, a mentor, your parents? Who's been somebody that really helped you get to where you are?
Yeah, I had a mentor for many years. She was my boss when I was a lot younger. She was probably about 15 years older than me. I'm sure I annoyed her at the time. I used to ask a lot of questions. I was probably about 24 when I worked for her. She took me under her wing and taught me a lot and said, you know what, if you want to be a good fashion designer, you need to learn a lot about business because it's really just running a business. Know what sells and what doesn't sell. Mm-hmm. Don't do something just because you personally love it. Like, look at your market and see what they're responding to and then constantly pivot according to that. And I'm very grateful for that experience. I ended up working with her for about 10 years. We became business partners at one point.
Very cool.
She unfortunately passed away from breast cancer about 3.5 years ago now. You know, and before she passed away, we talked a lot and she just gave me the courage and the knowledge, which I'm so fortunate to have been given of, you know, we say it a lot and it's cliche, but it really, really is short the time we have on the planet. And how do you really want to spend your time? Yeah. You know, and I knew in my heart that it wasn't working for someone else and that I had something I wanted to put out into the world. So, you know, she really encouraged me to stop at nothing.
How important is it for people to get mentors? And what do you feel like are some of the best ways people can do that nowadays? Because I feel like so many people don't have mentors and they don't understand that you can get them in books and you can get them on online, YouTube videos, and stuff like that. What are some ways people can get mentors?
In Sheryl Sandberg's book, she talks about this, you know, that you should never ask someone to be your mentor, that it's a relationship that you normally fall into. And then it's also, you know, cyclical that it's not just, you know, you sucking something out of them that you're also giving to them so that it's a give and take. So that the, you know, a symbiotic relationship that's successful should be like that long term. And that you, you know, you don't go tap Oprah on the shoulder in the airport and like ask her to be your mentor, that it's someone closer to you. And that, you know, a lot of information, like you said, like you can get from books and things like that. And, you know, for, there are some super special unicorns out there, but for most entrepreneurs, do get a job in the industry that, that, you know, you want to start your company in first, at least for a couple of years. Perhaps you'll find mentors there and learn a lot of things. And correct a lot of mistakes that you're not correcting, you know, on your own business is very valuable time and money. You know, and maybe they'll be burst from there.
What else are three things that you feel like beginning entrepreneurs need to be aware of when they embark on the journey of entrepreneurship?
One of them goes back to that. You know, I always tell people that, that ask me for help that have an idea, that an idea in and of itself isn't worth anything.
Yeah.
And people don't like to hear that, but it's the truth. The execution of the idea is what's worth something.
Only people that aren't entrepreneurs go, I've got the best idea ever. And a real entrepreneur who's actually taken an idea to market goes, an idea is not worth anything. What's the plan? How are we actually going to make it
profitable?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure any given day that someone's had that idea, even ideas that we've had, you know, thousands of people had that same idea that day.
Yeah, people are like, I came up with Uber back in 1990. It's like, yeah, you didn't do anything.
Right. So yeah, it's that. Love what you do. You know, that it's going to be such a roller coaster. So if you don't really love it and you won't be able to remind yourself of why you started it in the first place, I don't know that it'll be sustainable because it's not something quick. It has to be what you're passionate about because, you know, it's probably a long journey.
Most likely.
Yeah.
Decades. Yeah. I feel like too many people overestimate what they can do in a year and underestimate what they can do in a decade.
Right.
That's a common entrepreneurship flaw.
Most of the time, what happens after the first year is you pivot, not finish. So, yeah, you're 100%. Usually in there for a while.
I pivoted on my second year. Some people, unfortunately, they're like, I said this was what I was going to do. I said this was what, and then they stay in that lane for the longest period of time. So pivoting is definitely something important.
Being flexible.
Being flexible. We'll be right back with Rachel McCrary to talk more about what makes her business so successful. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs is what we do. So you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Is credit card debt ruining your life? Now you can have a large portion of your credit card debt forgiven. Get Relief Today wants to give you free information that shows you how. This program is proven to work for credit card debt, medical bills, and department store debt. Thousands of people have used it to have a portion of their credit card debt forgiven. Call now for free information and a consultation. And we'll give you the secret to this money-saving program absolutely free. Get eye-opening information that could save you thousands of dollars a year or a month, depending on how much you owe. In fact, the more you owe, the more you can save. All you need is to owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or department store debt to qualify. So call for free debt forgiveness information now at 800-207-8558. That's 800-207-8558. Discover the secret to having your credit card debt forgiven. Call 800-207-8558. 800-207-8558.
For me,
you shouldn't have to choose a random
one. The 90s. Beautiful. My friend's dad had one.
The SL. All of the SLs. I've been watching those since I was a kid.
I think the 1971 SE was the first Mercedes that just blew me away.
Everyone remembers the first time they saw one and the day they began to long for a Mercedes-Benz of their own. Well, that day may be a lot closer than you think. With a certified pre-owned Mercedes-Benz, you can experience the luxury, the unparalleled safety, the performance, and the style Mercedes-Benz is famous for at a price you can afford. Beautiful SUVs, sedans, coupes, and convertibles that are factory certified and covered by an unlimited mileage warranty for up to 3 years, so you can drive without a worry for as far as you like. And during the certified pre-owned sales event going on now through February 28th, you can receive 2 years of complimentary prepaid maintenance and special financing available through Mercedes-Benz Financial Services, only at your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer. You've waited long enough.
See your authorized Mercedes-Benz dealer for complete details and limitations on certified pre-owned warranties.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation
at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723.
We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
Rockstars, I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Rachel McCrary is joining us. She's the CEO and founder of Jewel Toned. Recap first what your company does. Obviously, we're looking at some of your products here.
Yeah, so we make body shapers that are super fun and lingerie that has no hardware, is really comfortable, and lays flat under anything, and is just fun and comfy. No nude, because it doesn't match everyone, and black and bright colors.
Yeah, and it looks like a Band-Aid, you said, right?
Yes. Our number one product is the Major Mini Dress. It comes in black and five other colors. It has a built-in bra, convertible straps, removable cups. You can wear it under a cocktail dress. You can wear it with a t-shirt tied in a knot. You can wear it out by itself if you want. You can do whatever you want with it. It's great underneath a wrap dress or something lace or crocheted. People normally find that once they start using it, they don't know how they lived without it, and it sort of goes with everything. And there's a lot of things in their wardrobe. They were like, oh, I have to get something to wear underneath this or that. This solves all those problems.
You solved that problem.
Yes.
What else? That's the bestseller.
Yes.
Okay. What about this one here?
That's a half slip.
Out all night mini.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's really comfortable. So you can place it wherever you want because there's no waistband and it's completely seamless. So when you take it off, it doesn't leave an indentation in the skin. It has lace on the bottom. So if you're sitting at a bar and you cross your legs and it peeks out, it doesn't look like a bike short. It looks like something that's cute and sexy and part of your outfit. It comes in bright blue and black. We have a bike short with a shadow stripe that goes underneath trousers or a skirt. And then our best-fitting panty.
This is like a little box that would be at, like, Nordstrom or something.
Yes, yes. It's packaged with a hair tie. Actually, all of our products are packaged with a hair tie. They're also completely seamless, super comfortable. When people buy these, they usually come back and buy about five more because you don't have to worry about getting a line, but it's super cozy.
Fantastic. And what was the process? Because I don't think a lot of people understand the process in making this come to reality. It's one thing to have an idea, as we were talking about. It's a whole other thing to execute it and turn it into this. There's manufacturing. There's figuring out how you want it to look and the packaging and the branding. So break that down for us, because I think that's really important for people to understand that. I know this started in your kitchen, but it obviously ends up being a lot more than that. You have to deal with manufacturers and raising money and building a team and getting designers. So break that down, how it went from idea in your kitchen to this.
Well, first, actually, I looked up a bunch of legal things to make sure that, you know, the name was legal and the things that I was making weren't patented by someone else so that we could work on that, which everything was fine there. Okay. And these days, you have to make sure that whatever you want to call your company is available on all social media handles. So,
and
you know,
the domain and all those little things. Yes. Most people don't even think about those.
Yes. Then I actually went to China and lived by the factory. So we have a lace collection.
You lived in China?
Yes. Wow. So we have a lace collection as well, but the seamless things are made on machines that are a little tough to produce around here. So I found this amazing factory about 10 years ago, and I've known them for a while and kind of, you know, grew up with their their daughters, and they make these amazing seamless products. So they're like, you know, fifth generation, been doing it forever. So I went and lived next to these machines. So I would make prototype and then go and try it on in the bathroom. And I did that like every, you know, every day. I would do a few different iterations of it for a few months until the products were perfect. And then, you know, once the products were approved, you know, started the run on that. While that was getting done, I designed the packaging in Photoshop and Illustrator, had the hair ties made.
You did it.
Yeah, I did all of it. Wow. And then, you know, had these little cardboard things made. You wouldn't be surprised about how many times it takes to make that perfect, especially when you're you don't speak Cantonese.
Did you sit there one by one, or did they have to sit there one by one?
I cut them and taped them until they did the final die cut.
Straight hustling over here.
Yeah, you can't be a princess to be an entrepreneur. So yeah, did all that, came home, took the prototypes, did a photo shoot, put up a website, also started selling stuff on social media.
Did you do the website?
Yep.
Wow. So you're over here cranking out, watching YouTube training videos and reading books.
I was like, why? And he just go over there. So yeah, I was like Googling like simple HTML stuff.
Wow.
Now I don't do all that stuff. There are people that are way better equipped than myself.
But that's what you do when you start. You hustle and you grind and you make no excuses and you figure it out on your own. Because nowadays, the one thing we all have access to, or 99% of the people, is the internet. And the internet has all the educational videos of how to edit this in Photoshop or whatever, how to make my own website. And so I love that you hustled and grinded and you figured it out on your own.
Down my trademarks on LegalZoom by myself.
LegalZoom. Yeah. We've had the founders of LegalZoom on our show before.
Yeah, I don't know them. I'm not plugging them.
I'll plug them.
Great.
But that's fantastic that you were able to take all this. What was the evolution? What was the turning point for you that took this from you doing all the work to being able to outsource it to other people and you focus on your strengths?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it takes a village. I can't do everything. And there's a lot of other aspects to the business, you know, like PR and marketing, you know, that I don't really know anything about at all. So, you know, but I knew that I needed proof of concept to raise money. So that's why I did all that stuff on myself, so I could get proof of concept on, you know, virtually no budget. And then once I raised the money, then, you know, hired a few people and started, you know, finding the best fit, because every single thing that needs to be done is it better to get an agency or a freelancer or an in-house person. So we went through a few different iterations of that until we found, you know, what worked best for us.
That's fantastic. You're the true example of a startup hustler and showing what it takes to get it done. CEO and founder of Jewel Toned, Rachel McCrary, is joining us. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. You know, I love your story. I love what you've been doing. But what are going to be some practical ways you can sustain the sales moving forward? Oprah Magazine's one of those kind of like unicorns, and it doesn't come by all that often.
Yeah.
What are some ways you're going to continue the sales? Is it through online sales? Is it through brick and mortar stores?
Yeah, we're about 50-50 now. So we're in brick and mortar stores. We're in a couple of department stores and a bunch of boutiques, and then also our online business. Our online business is usually from press and social media and things like that. And then obviously the retailers are from, you know, their customer base in their respective areas, because some people still want to touch and feel and try something on. We're actually looking into some celebrity partnerships as we speak. I can't talk about it quite yet, but we're pretty far down the road with that.
Awesome.
And talked to some people about some TV stuff. Apparently underwear companies are interesting. just, you know, awesome. Having our little army of women around the country, getting the word out one at a time is the best way. They're like, hey, I love this. So they tell their friend.
How are you building a tribe and a community? I'm glad that you brought that up. Nowadays, companies are striving to figure out how they can create a community, something that people feel like they're a part of. You're not just buying a product, but you're actually a part of a community. And I feel like that's a differentiator right there, is how can you create a tribe and a true brand, something that people feel like they're a part of when they buy it? You guys are doing that. What are some ways that other companies can do that as well?
You know, just be accessible and available and open. People call and email our office and they're like, you know, how can I talk to the designer or the founder? And I'm like, if I answer the phone, I'm like, what do you want to know? You know, and if someone answers the phone, then they ask me if it's okay, and they'll like make an appointment or tell them what time to call. A couple of times a week, me and the other two executives make sure that we actually log into the social media ourselves, engage with everyone. So on our main social media platforms, we actually talk to the people ourselves. So if somebody makes a comment, whether it's positive or negative, we'll ask them more about it. And people really appreciate that. They really appreciate that we really do care, even if it's negative. Like, we want to hear it so we can constantly improve. And I think just staying you know, real with them and, you know, hey, we're women too. And, you know, we're all different shapes and sizes in our office and we have these issues. So, you know, we want to hear what other women have to say and share our, you know, date night horror stories and how we're overcoming that.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing. I'm excited for what's going to happen with Oprah Magazine. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. Connecting a community of entrepreneurs is what we do. So you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Bubble markets are not kind to those who enter a step too late. The Successful Farming Radio Magazine is brought to you by Kubota. Where passion meets performance, Kubota can help you achieve more. Kubota, for Earth, for Life.
I'm the neighbor that drives a Kubota. I scout, venture off the beaten path, tow, haul, fuel my passion. To be part of a bigger picture, this is why I do it. Kubota. Right now, a Kubota RTV can be yours with zero down and 0% financing for up to 48 months. See your local Kubota dealer today.
Now through March 31st, 2017. Call toll-free 1-800-794-4992 for details about cost and terms.
In economics, when demand exceeds supply, prices are higher. When some farm commodities' price goes up, there's a tendency for growers to want to chase that. Scott Brown is in the Ag Economics Department at the University of Missouri.
Have you heard about BizTV? BizTV is the home for America's entrepreneurs, small businesses, and those who want to succeed in life. It's the only national television network committed to airing original, high-quality, educational, and inspirational programming about real business people. BizTV can provide the right kind of ideas, motivation, and education to help fuel the next generation of business owners. Visit BizTV.com and call your satellite or cable service provider to request BizTV.
Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, my New Year's resolution is to get new customers in the door.
Well, Staples has everything you need to promote your business. Signs, pens, mugs, you name it.
Perfect.
And right now you can get 15% off custom banners and posters.
15% off? That's one resolution off my list.
Oh, how many were there?
Just the one.
Then, Happy New Year.
This year, resolve to promote your business at Staples. And right now, get 15% off custom banners and posters. Staples. Make more happen.
Offer ends 3/24/17. See a Staples associate for details.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630. National Funding Group has just released $100 million in easy access small business funding to businesses that gross at least $100,000 a year. You can have fast access up to $500,000 in new business capital in as little as 48 hours. Think about the ways you could grow your business if you had up to $500,000 cash infusion. Call a NFG funding expert now. The process is easy. It only takes about 5 minutes. Then our management-owned lending team looks at your application for a fast approval. You can get 100% funded in about 2 days. If you need up to $500,000 in working capital to run your business and you gross at least $100,000 a year, call NFG and apply today. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. 800-296-1564. That's 800-296-1564.
Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome to the show. Let's check in with Mark Lack.
We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. Joining us is Eric DeHaan. He's the CEO and co-founder of Instabrand. Eric, it's a pleasure to have you, brother.
Same. Thanks for having me.
All right. So first, tell us about your company, Instabrand. What do you guys do?
Okay. So we're an influencer marketing company. And if you don't know what an influencer is, an influencer, is, in our definition, is a social media celebrity, so to speak. Anyone from 10,000 followers up to 10 million plus followers. The platforms we focus on tend to be the mobile platform. So we're talking about Instagram and Snapchat are the big two. But we're cross-platform, working with influencers on Facebook, on Twitter, on Pinterest, on YouTube, and so on and so forth. And so what we do, we execute full-on campaigns with these influencers on behalf of brands. And to show you what that looks like.
Please do.
Yes.
Lay it down for me, brother.
So let's say we have a new product being launched,
okay,
or you have a new product being launched. You'll come to us and say, you know, hey, we're looking for a way to promote this product. Let's say it's a skincare product.
Okay.
We'll get that product into the hands of 50 influencers, have them post talking about that product in a very organic nature. So this isn't a disruptive ad, but very much so integrated into that social media influencers feed. And we'll then track the engagements, the reach, and all the different metrics involved with that.
So my question inevitably, as I'm sure many people reflect, is how much do I have to pay for that? Because I can only imagine that to get those 50 influencers who have 100,000 to 10 million followers can't be cheap.
Well,
do I give them paid results on the back? It is, of course. Right. Everything's relative, right?
Yeah, that's how much you have. But so here's the thing. Here's how we look at it. When it comes to advertising, you're looking at it from an effective standpoint, right? What's the value that's being produced? Not so much as what's the budget, but what's the value, right?
Good reframe. It's like, what's the return on the ads?
Well, what's the return?
So these are bigger companies you guys are working with then?
These are larger brands. Now, we work with startups as well, but a big part of our focus are the larger brands.
Of course, because for them, they can allocate 100, 200 grand or $1 million, and it's not going to be a big deal.
Yeah, but what I like to say, too, is even though we're working with larger brands, the real case studies that we look at to show our effectiveness are the smaller brands that we've incubated from the ground up.
Those are ones, because you can see typically a much bigger return.
Right.
From those.
Right, and you could see the needle move, right? Yeah. We're not one tiny piece of the marketing mix, right?
Yeah.
If a
Fortune 500 gave you 100 Gs or even a million, that would be like almost nothing compared to their budget.
Right.
You know, so if somebody small, if they allocated 10 G's and you helped them make 200 G's, that would be a big deal.
Right. And it's hard to track, too. If you're a Coca-Cola, for example, you're spending, you know, millions and millions of dollars. How do you allocate?
Per week, per day.
Right. And it's difficult to allocate, you know, what was the brand lift for that given month? How many cans of Coke did we sell through all our different distribution channels during the lifetime of that campaign?
There's so many other things that could have created spikes. That I get that for you guys, it's like you're just one small metric on the board.
Yep.
Okay.
And so that's why we tend to look at everything that's happening within these social platforms as we track them. But our real case studies come from the smaller brands that we've worked with.
Okay. So how did you end up starting this business? Because that's the one question I always have is, how did you start? And is this like one of your first businesses or what?
Great question. So the company was a complete accident.
I always think it's crazy when somebody goes, well, my business started by accident. Like, what?
Complete accident. Yeah. So, I was about 6 months out of college, and I was working with my brother and one of my now co-founders, Felix, and another friend on a project called Splurge. And what Splurge was, it was a flash sales aggregator where we looked at...
What is that, by the way?
So your daily deal sites like Guild Group, Hotlook, Rulala, ShopStyle, we'd pull in different products being featured from these different sites. And instead of you getting bombarded with emails of different sales that weren't relevant to what you cared about, we'd curate that feed so that you only saw items that you cared about based on what products you liked, based on the price points you reacted to, based on different materials in the products. So sounds really nice. Now, the issue with that idea, it's a very big idea, right? And the problem with big ideas is they take a lot of money to get off the ground. And being a few months out of college, no real experience other than my experience working at Hotlook and interning really throughout college was how do we raise money for this? And so the first thing is get an audience.
So you guys raised money for your business, Instagram?
We did, but we bootstrapped it until then.
Okay.
So this was for Splurge. So as we're building that up, we're saying, okay, well, to raise money, we need to show that there are users on this platform making purchases.
Of course.
And so, we went around and we had maybe $10,000 that we scrapped together. And we're looking for different ways to market. And so we spent about $8,000 on paid social ads. And we realized that we were just way off from the numbers we needed to get to that proof of concept phase. So I was sitting there, said, I have $2,000 left. Guys, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
My brother at the same time had a gene line that he launched. And by launch, I mean he had a few samples. And within 3 weeks, he was able to establish a following on Instagram of 20,000 followers.
Wow.
And people were commenting, hey, where can I buy this? Where can I get these pants? And the funny thing was, they weren't even production. They were just a few samples. So when I asked my brother Alex, who's the founder of Instagram, you know, how did you do this? He said, well, I have a few friends that have large followings on Twitter, large followings on Instagram, and I just asked them to wear the clothing and post about it. So I said, can they post about Splurge? She goes, yeah, sure, why not? And so we saw thousands of downloads coming in.
So your brother was really the biggest reason why you were able to start your company. CEO and co-founder of Instabrand, Eric DeHaan, is joining us. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. I think it's insane that your brother's concept gene brand is what kind of helped you guys start this other business. So continue.
Yeah. And it was funny then because now we have the users on this app. And we said, well, we're still not at the proof of concept phase yet. Now we need to get some brands directly being featured on the app so that they could sell their products through to the consumers that were now on the app. So we went to a fashion trade show. Our family background is in the fashion industry, so it's an industry we're very familiar with.
Okay, so that makes sense because I was going to say, I was like, how the heck did he just create a concept for jeans and get 20,000 people to start following him off the app? You've been doing this, your family has, for a while.
Yeah, we grew up in that industry. We're fortunate enough to learn through osmosis, right?
And still so, impressive.
Yeah, and it was interesting. And we go to the trade show and we pitch, you know, one brand, two brands, three brands, and we realize that the brands, you know, they're kind of interested in the app, but not really, right? Mm-hmm. They're like, well, there are a lot of other apps to move my inventory.
Yeah.
But what we really care about,
it's a hard space to be in.
It's a hard space to be in. But what they really cared about was building their brand. And their eyes would open when we talk about how we were marketing our app, right? Our sort of secret sauce to how we built...
With the influencers. Okay. Which nowadays, I feel like if someone thinks that's a secret sauce nowadays, it's like, where have you been? Like an ostrich with your head on the ground. Like,
yeah.
Because nowadays, that's really one of the biggest things people are capitalizing on is influencers. Even if the influencer has 1,000 followers, people are giving free products to them to post and take pictures with.
Yeah, and now it's a known sort of formula for building a brand. But back then, it was like, well, you know, we know celebrities work, but who are these people we've never heard of?
Now millennials.
Yeah, exactly.
Millennials now.
And so by the fourth pitch, we said, you know what? Let's give it a try. Let's pitch ourselves as a marketing company and see what happens.
Yeah.
So we go. It was myself, Felix, our other co-founder, and Alex, and then Joey, another co-founder as well. And we went up to a brand and we said, hey, we have marketing capabilities. Mm. Look what we did for this app. Look at the user numbers.
So
look
how
at the
you grew your own business. You guys like, we might as well market.
We might as well market. We said, you know, it's worth a shot, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's something called a sunk cost fallacy, right? Just because, you know, the easy way of describing it is just because you bought a rotten fish doesn't mean you have to eat it, right? Just because we invested all this energy in this app doesn't mean that we have to continue down that path. It was a great way to bring us across another opportunity. And that was sort of the catalyst for us discovering the whole influencer space.
But I want to stop you right there because that's a distinction that a lot of people need to recognize is that you invest all this time, energy, and money in building a business, an app in your case, and then you realize that you can pivot, which is one of the most important qualities of an entrepreneur is their ability to pivot based on results. And you saw that there was an opportunity to take something you learned from that, you referred to it as a rotten fish, and transition it into your next business, which I love. And so what is the real secret sauce here? Maybe you can't reveal all of it, but give us sort of like the breakdown, right? Yeah. If I want to get a hold of these influencers, because maybe I know obviously the idea here is for somebody to hire you.
Yeah.
But if I wanted to go out and I wanted to get these influencers myself, what's kind of the way to go about that? Besides the obvious thing where it's just reach out, just ask.
Yeah.
What is the secret sauce that you guys are doing?
Well, if you're just going to go out yourself, you can, right? By all means, you could reach out. But there's so many pitfalls when it comes to working with influencers, especially the middle tail of influencers, right? So these are your people with 70,000 followers to 500,000 followers. And it gets very difficult to scale that, right? It's easy to reach out to two or three influencers. But when you're working with 50 influencers on a given campaign, making sure that they're posting on time, making sure that you're selecting the right people for the brand, making sure that the content is on par with what you need. There are so many moving parts with that. You know, that's where we come in. So the first part of our secret sauce, without giving away the secret, is we built technology, right? And by technology, this isn't a CRM. This isn't a workflow management tool. This is a big data play. And what it allows us to do is look at all these influencers, 100,000 of them, and make sure that we're finding the best ones. And the way we do that, rather than saying and categorizing, hey, this is an influencer who's into sports, or here's a fashion influencer or a beauty influencer, we take it a few steps deeper. So when you're talking about sports, what do you mean, right? Is it someone into basketball? Is it someone into hockey? If it's basketball, are we talking about the Lakers, the Clippers? Are we talking about LeBron James? Are we talking about Kobe? What exactly are we talking about? If we're talking about fashion, what kind of fashion are we talking about? Are we talking about high-end luxury fashion? Are we talking about men's fashion? Are we talking about street style or urban wear? Like, what are we talking about? So we look at the keyword level for these influencers.
So the secret sauce, number one ingredient for secret sauce is clarity and being really clear on that, which I love. What's number two?
So that data layer is the first one, gives us transparency into the market and make sure that we're finding the right influencers for your brand who talk about the right things. The second layer of that is all the sort of what I call proprietary data that we built up, working data. And this is from us being in the space for around 4 years now. And just every time we run a transaction with an influencer, with a brand, we get smarter, right? We know more about the price in the marketplace. So there's a lot of pricing data that's out there that's just... You know, it's not real, right? It's just sort of inferred. It's made up. It's anchored very high.
So how do you know that, though? Because that is, I totally agree. A lot of the data that people are getting, they're basing their information on where they should spend their ad spend is not accurate.
Yeah.
So how do you make sure that you're getting accurate data?
So on the pricing side, this comes back to us being one of the first, or if not the first, to get into this space and watching the market grow, right? Because prices have been inflated. There's been a lot of hype with the space, a lot of demand, which drove the pricing up. Since we've been negotiating these rates since the beginning, we were able to really...
With the influencers,
we're able to get a very accurate model and build a very accurate pricing model based on all our historics and see very accurately, hey, what have we paid? What has the return been? In some cases, we've negotiated preferred pricing deals with the talent. So that then keeps our real insight in the market there.
Eric, pleasure having you on the show, brother.
Thank you.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. Join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. If your IVC filter broke or caused organ damage, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-7907.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
If you have hard water, the limescale not only leaves white spots, it clogs pipes and breaks down appliances, costing you hundreds of dollars in energy and wear. Eliminate limescale and other water issues like brown staining, bad odors, and lead with HydroCare water products available from Wave Home Solutions. Wave's affordable systems don't use salts or chemicals. You'll love the way your water tastes, smells, and looks. Satisfaction guaranteed. For more information, go to goodclearwater.com. That's goodclearwater.com.
Finally, a pharmacy that helps you manage your diabetic medications. Pay attention to this important message, which could change your life. PillPack is a next-generation pharmacy that packages your medication by the dose and delivers it directly to your door. We'll even include your insulin, testing supplies, and any vitamins you regularly take. You'll never sort your pills or hassle with trips to the pharmacy again. And if you take five or more medications, you may qualify for $25 of free vitamins. PillPack is a free service with free shipping. All you pay are your regular copays, and we do the rest, including verifying insurance and transferring prescriptions. There is no extra cost or hidden charges. We accept most insurance and Medicare Part D. Our team is available 24/7. And if you're traveling or need your diabetic medications now, we will overnight your shipment for no additional cost. PillPack offers the same prices you're already paying, but gives you a whole lot more. Switch to the only pharmacy designed to fit your life by calling 800-380-1211. 800-380-1211. 800-380-1211.
You shouldn't.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-373-0345. That's 800-373-0345. Again, 800-373-0345.
Any home or business can quickly become infested with mold with the introduction of a water source, like a roof or plumbing leak. When your home, your belongings, or your business becomes damaged, it's not just about cleaning up the mess. It's about reclaiming your life. And that's why you need to call the Water and Mold Removal Hotline. A licensed, fully insured, affordable, non-invasive solution to solving any water and mold problems. Our team of trained specialists are available with 24/7 emergency service. We will quickly evaluate your problem and give you a plan that will guarantee results. Water causes damage and mold can spread throughout your property in as little as 48 to 72 hours and can produce allergens and irritants that have the potential to cause serious health hazards. So don't waste time. Give us a call now. For any water or mold problems, call the Water and Mold Removal Hotline.
Call 800-432-8430 today for a free estimate. That's 800-432-8430. 800-432-8430.
Inspire, inform, and connecting a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. Welcome to the show. Let's check in with Mark Lack.
So you're looking to raise money for your business? What are all the different options out there? We're going to talk about that in just a sec. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack, and this is Business Rockstars. Joining us to answer that question is our guest, Bill Lee. He's the founder and CEO of Nightscope. So how do we go about it? You've been great at raising money.
There's a ton of alternatives, and even more so now that the Jobs Act has been passed. You can go down the traditional route if you've got a business that fits a particular investor's profile, and a lot of focus on, you know, the 6,000 VCs that dump $550 billion a year into startups. A lot of entrepreneurs start off, and when they're trying to put a business together, they're really looking for product market fit first, or they're trying to get traction or getting some PR, or I got to get my team in place and all this other stuff. And it's not as sexy, but you actually need financial security, the actual financial mechanism fit with the investor for your business. You're actually not selling a product to start.
So what do you
You're
mean
actually
by that?
Selling a security, either debt or equity or what have you. Okay. You're trying to find the audience for that, because if you don't get some capital to get going, unless you self-fund, you're not going to be able to execute all this other stuff that you're trying to do. So you really need to think through, like you would think for a product, like, who's my audience for this? Or a lot of guys, bankers in New York like to say, who would care? Who would care what you're talking about?
Yeah.
And if it's a traditional app, some photo sharing thing or what have you, there's, you know, thousands of VCs that love to put $1 to $3-5 million into 4 or 5 team members to go hit it out of the park, and hopefully, you know, they get a Facebook.
Yeah, because that's just the trend now. Everyone's trying to hope that they get the next Facebook.
And unfortunately, I'll say 90%+ of VCs are ex-software types in some regard. And I don't know who decided to edict this, but, you know, we're going to dump all this money into life sciences and into IT, and, you know, the rest of the world doesn't exist.
Right? Yeah.
And you really need to think through where you get that kind of capital. And it might be a bunch of angel investors that you need to pull together, and you actually need to be the investment banker as opposed to sitting around waiting for an investor to give you a term sheet and go, I'll be your lead investor, I'll do all the diligence, and all these people are going to flock like sheep and just, you know, follow me, which is supposedly the traditional way to do this. Or you can, you know, think it through, put some commercially reasonable terms in place and go, okay, here are my terms. This is what I'm willing to do. And you actually have to manage the syndicate and try to get everybody to agree to your terms and try to get it done that way.
So what if somebody doesn't have experience, though? Because clearly you're a man with a lot of experience in this case around raising money and the different ways to do that. But for the person who's at home saying, this guy's really smart. He's impressive. But I'm not remotely close to playing on the same field as this guy, but I need to get some money raised. Should they go to Kickstarter, crowdfunder, incubators? What should they do?
Crowdfunding, Kickstarter, that kind of stuff. If it's a business-to-consumer type of play, you might have an opportunity there.
B2C?
B2C type of stuff. B2B stuff is kind of really difficult to do that in that environment. Companies like Seed Invest, if you're the company's bait or an accelerator, you know, you're past the first round or so and you're starting to get going, those are some appropriate places to take a look. Okay. Seed Invest, for example, it's kind of like an investment bank for startups. Okay. They're a broker-dealer. They'll do a bunch of diligence. They reject 98% of the applicants.
Yeah.
So unless you got your act together, you're not going to get on their platform that has tens of thousands of accredited and non-accredited investors.
Okay, so it really depends on the type of money, the type of business, the type of product.
Same as the product fit thing that we were just talking about.
Okay, founder and CEO of Nightscope, Bill Lee, is joining us. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, and we're talking about, if you need to raise money for your business, what are all the different potential options out there? We just went through a couple of them.
So that's one scenario. One other huge trend, so one is corporate venture capital. So now 25% of the funding capital that's flowing through every year is actually from major corporations that have...
Which not a lot of people hear about that.
Massive balance sheets.
Of course.
And it's not a nice way to say it, but they're partially outsourcing their R&D function. To give some capital to some startups to go maybe build something that they can't internally build.
Because they just acquire innovation. They don't usually...
Possibly. Or they can build themselves a client. And there's a lot of interesting angles. One thing an entrepreneur needs to be careful about there is some entrepreneurs get into a desperate situation and will do whatever the corporate venture capitalist says, which is, fine, I'll give you some funding, but... Once you grow up and you're doing really well, you have to do X for us.
Okay.
Or we have some side letter agreement that has the company some commitment or something else, or worse yet, ask for board seat and then you have an inherent conflict of interest. So if you're going to take corporate venture capital money, you need to make sure not to do that side letter agreement. You can be friendly about it and go, if you guys don't perform, you know, we as the company can fire you. You don't want to put a permanent relationship in place because there was some capital that flowed in. So you got to be careful with all the hooks that could happen during that process and make sure that the cap table actually works for what you're trying to accomplish.
So when does somebody actually know that they need to get funded, though? Because I feel like some people just do it because it sounds cool to go out and, I mean, I'm going to frame it a different way, to go out and take debt. Like, essentially, that's you're raising debt. Like, when people go, oh, I raised $30 million. Cool, but you're expected to give that money back. Not only give it back, but to hopefully make them a profit. So a lot of people think it's like it's cool to go out and raise a bunch of money, but how does somebody know when it's actually the right time or the right thing to do?
Not every color of money is the same shade of green.
Yeah.
So you've got to be careful what, you know, terms and clauses are in that with that money. For a young company to take on a massive amount of debt, like, not a good idea.
That's what I'm saying. Some people are like, literally be like, oh, I raised $20 million, and oh, that's so incredible.
I mean, there's a way to structure it, don't get me wrong. Yeah. Like, hey, it's a $20 million piece of debt, and it converts at $100 million pre-money in 12 months, like automatic conversion. Like, okay, fine, I'll do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So there's always a way to structure things, and one thing for an entrepreneur to do is as much time as you're spending learning about new technologies and everything, you should spend a little bit of time thinking about financial engineering, actually how to actually structure the right kind of capital at the right time for your business.
Thanks, Bill.
Hey, absolutely.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.
Attention Xarelto and Pradaxa users. If you or a loved one has taken Xarelto or Pradaxa and suffered an injury or even died, you could be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Xarelto and Pradaxa are prescribed blood thinners used to prevent blood clots and protect people from strokes. If you have taken Xarelto or Pradaxa and been hospitalized for internal bleeding, call now. 800-305-2036. Serious bleeding has led to numerous cases of hospitalization and death. If you or a loved one was hospitalized for serious internal bleeding or a stroke after taking Xarelto or Pradaxa, you could be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Don't be a silent victim. Time is limited to file your claim. Call now for free information and a free consultation. Call 800-305-2036. That's 800-305-2036. Again, 800-305-2036.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
BizTalk Radio.